You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello, hello, here we go, it's the Cop Hype Podcast.
What's happening, everyone? Back again for a match review of the FA Cup. We've just lost 3-2 to them fuckers down the road. Joined with Tim and joined by Jay again. Jay, initial thoughts on that? Obviously, it's last 10 minutes to get a winner, and you just have praying we're going to get an equaliser again to get back in the game. It doesn't come.
No, so, it doesn't, mate. It was very, very disappointing overall. And I did say, didn't I, on the team news, even if we went out, I want to see a better performance. We got that, don't get me wrong, and I'm very pleased that we were a lot better. You know, we scored a goal, we scored two goals, which was fucking incredible. That was a very nice feeling to see the ball hit the back of the net. It's just frustrating that we weren't sort of outplayed for their goals by the, in fact, no, forget that. We're having the third one, forget about it with the fucking dodgy fucking free kick. But it was our mistakes that led to their goals, and that's what frustrates me. But again, it just goes back to the whole point that it's the 24th of January and we still haven't signed a fucking centre half, which is just gutting. I'm just gutted about the result, boys. Even though it was a much better performance and I'm so pleased that we played better, it's still, it's fucking, not happy. Yeah. But
yeah, it's not. I don't think it's fair on Reece Williams either. I know he was at fault today, but he's good on the ball. He's good, solid defender, but he's still a kid, and he's expected to come in there and make us tick in the same way Van Dijk does. And it's just, it's hard to watch, isn't it, at times, Tim? Because we're used to such high standards that we look a bit laboured, and it's to be expected, isn't it?
It is a frustrating situation because I don't think we would have had to spend a massive amount this January to pull in a centre-back that could have come in and done a job. We've touched on Militao being made available for essentially 2 million till the end of the season. But it's not for Reece Williams because he is a kid. But at the same time, it's tough because Liverpool for the past 10 years have been fighting for a top four spot. But considering the fact we've been the best team in the world for 2 or 3 years, in my opinion, now it's hard to kind of not be frustrated by the fact that we're just allowing kids to fill in and allowing ourselves to be average instead of actually pushing on and putting in a squad that's going to try and win absolutely every game instead of settling. It was a much better performance today, much, much better. We looked much more like meaningful, like attacking. But then again, two mistakes and a shitty call by the ref because, I mean, what a shit call. But yeah, just one of those games where, you know, we scored two really, really well-worked goals. Rashford hits a ball over the top. Milner completely misjudges it and Green was in a goal. The second goal, Reece Williams makes a mistake and puts Rashford in on goal, and it's just frustrating, really, isn't it?
Yeah, and I think it's like you said, Tim. It's all mistakes. Like Millie, to be fair to him, he was too small to get his head on the first one. Second one is Reese's fault because he should just clear that as hard as he can, just kick it, and he's obviously missed it. And the third one, I didn't think it was a pen, but a free kick, but I would say that. But I think that is also another thing when you play Fabinho, as good as he is, he does fly in like a bull in the china shop sometimes, where the likes of Van Dijk would just can't.
It's in his DNA, isn't it, as a defensive midfielder?
That's what I mean. That's what you expect from him. But it's just stuff like that where having a bit of that defensive nous in the in those like latter parts of the field where you just got to keep cool. It's went against us, hasn't it, Jay? Unfortunately today.
Yeah, it has indeed, mate. I just want to pick out a couple of the comments straight away. Karen's put Mo Salah, what a start. Absolutely, yeah, he was. Mo, massive thank you for putting the ball in the back of the fucking net. Tomo's back with us tonight, mate. Aye, mate. Reece will be a good defender, but for such a young lad, he runs like he's stuck in mud. Yes, it's a very fair observation, that, to be fair. I want to look at Gav's comment. He's gone, fuck this playing Fabinho in defence if Matip is fit. You play Matip and William and Phillips or Williams, get the midfield strong as possible. Not like any time any team battles in possession. I think he's just typing really fast here because he wants to get his words out. Just need to teach the back four how to defend against counter-attacks. Game is won and lost in midfield, so Klopp needs to get that strong as possible. Now, I see where Gav's coming from in this because I do agree with him a little bit because we've tried. And now Fabinho's done very, very well since he's become a centre-half, obviously, and we've lauded him for his performances and thanked him for it. But that's a really good point. If Matip is fit for a game, is it worth putting Matip and Williams or Matip and Phillips in and having Fabinho back in the midfield? Because there were times, again, where we were overrunning that midfield tonight, and that was so frustrating. Now, don't get me wrong, love Thiago to pieces and what he does. You know, he makes a short ass like me feel really good when he's winning them headers. But he's not that sort of sitting player, is he? He's, if you had Fabinho and Thiago, and that, it'll give Thiago that license to get forward and play even bigger killer passes. So I do agree with what Gav's saying here, Mick. Where do you sit with that?
I agree. I think I said this a couple of weeks ago. Like, having players in the correct positions should benefit us. Like, I know they took Matip out today out of the firing line because they don't want to wrap him in cotton wool for games coming up. Wanted to keep him for them, but yeah, even if that's what I mean, I think I can't remember who said it on the last pod. Like, he's Klopp's damned if he does, damned if he doesn't, whatever lineup he picks. Like, if he goes, say, Phillips and Williams tonight, it's a risk, but at least then you can put Fabinho back as a CDM, have Thiago on the left, and then whoever else on the right of a three. And then it's kind of people are back in normal positions, and you can kind of, like, we generally have most of the ball, like you said, so we can kind of build from there. But it's, yeah, I can see both sides of the coin because he wants to keep playing Fabinho there because he wants to keep him the level of his adaptation to that position, keep like the progression and that going. So I can see that side as well. So it is a bit, yeah, it's a difficult one, but it does highlight again the need for a centre half. I mean, we keep saying it, and I mean, it's the world's. The world's worst kept secret that we need a centre half, and but it doesn't look like it's going to happen, does it? So we're fucked either way because we're going to have to hope Matip can stay fit, but we can't trust him. Like, he could probably play two in a week, but then he'd be rested for the third one because the more we push him, the more like he is to break down, isn't he? So that's the thing with regards to that.
The thing is, mate, as well, you're running out of games to sort of play. Now that we're out of the FA Cup now, you're running out of games to sort of like, well, we can give Matip a break there or whatever. You're running that out now. So now it's Premier League and Champions League again. And obviously the 1892 Reds podcast is on. Nice to see you, pal. Go check out his stuff because the podcast is growing really well. But he said, could be a blessing in disguise now, only Premier League and Champions League to worry about. It's very, very fair point, but every game now is so important, isn't it, Tim, going into the last stage of the season?
Yeah, I mean, the overriding feeling for me, although massively frustrating.
Sorry, mate, I'm just saying, David, but should we start kicks that I'll throw a tenner in.
Yeah, I'll clear my fucking bank account if it means we can get a CB in.
Go for
12 quid then. Carry on, Tim. Go on.
It's frustrating because it's Man United. Had we been beaten 3-2 by West Ham there, I'd be fine. But the frustrating thing is it's Man United and I fucking hate them. But yeah, I mean, the overriding feeling from that performance was positive. For me, as much as Mo scored twice, my man of the match was Firmino. I think he was superb. I think he looked like the Firmino of old. His work rate was back to what it used to be. His passing was superb. His link-up play was great. He was in all, you know, in areas causing United problems, taking his touch first off, which was brilliant for most of the night. Yeah, I mean, if we play that against Tottenham, we'll probably beat them, I'd say. I think that, Tottenham are a similar team to United that they play on the counter-attack and stuff, but if we play like that, we've got Matip and Fabinho back line. I'd have us winning that game if we played along the lines of how we did this evening. Just because, you cut the mistakes out from Milner and Reece Williams and a potentially a bad call from the referee, and this is a 2-0. And, you know, and you come away, if United don't score 3 goals, you come away thinking we've well deserved that game. Like, we've played well, we've created more chances than we have been doing recently. And we need to, with the Champions League fast approaching, we need to snap into form, because I mean, we can be appalling in the Premier League for the rest of the season. If we go and win the Champions League, it would cover all that up anyway. So
Yeah. Mick, I want to ask you a question. So Klopp is managing the game. We're much, much better in that second half, in terms of the, after going a goal down. I mean, you know, we came back and we it looked like Liverpool were going to be the next team to score. Then obviously the Klopp makes his changes, and we spoke about Minamino, didn't we? And he's not got a game once again. Now, Roberto Firmino was off the pitch. You've not got Minamino. What the fuck is going on? Are we asking that question again? It seems as like every week now we're thinking Minamino will get a game. We said in the pre-match, didn't we, that Minamino might see 20 minutes. What the fuck's going on, man?
I honestly don't know. Like, comes in out of the cold against Palace. That was his first start, wasn't he? He scores, he plays well. And he's just kind of... I don't know. I honestly don't know. I'd love to know, because tonight you'd think... I think Origi came on, didn't he, and Shaq. Like, if you brought on Minamino there, you've got a bit more creativity. Every time I see Origi coming on, I'm just like, oh, why? Like, and he did look a little bit better last two games, to be fair to him. But he couldn't have got any worse, Origi, in my opinion. He could have only got better in terms of his performance level. So it would have been nice to see Tachi again, but I don't know. I don't know what it is. I don't know. It's not like, I mean, there's a comment there from Ian saying, like, we should have a strong enough squad for all competitions City have. And it's like games like this, what do you think? It should be, tailor made for a tacky, tacky appearance. And I think Gavin just said there, like, be honest, gents, we'd rather see Minamino to the Origi. And I agree 100%. I just don't know what's going on there. Tim, any thoughts on what it could be with tacky and why he's not fucking getting a game?
I mean, my only thought as to why he's putting Origi ahead of him at the moment is in case he gets a couple of goals and we can sell him in the next couple of days and fund a centre back. You know, that's the only train of thought that makes sense to me. Because, I mean, I was a bit frustrated and confused at the double substitution, because you took off Thiago and Firmino, who had been the only creative force on the field for 80 minutes, and you took them both off at the same time and stuck on Shaq, who came on and was decent and almost played Origi in, actually. And Origi, who's been dire for a while now, and, you know, he was all right, but I mean, he's, again, nothing spectacular, nothing that's going to come on and change a game. You might as well throw Taki in there. Like I said, it just doesn't make sense to me. I don't know if there's something going on behind closed doors that we can't see, but it kind of leans to thinking that way, because he's like, as we touched on in the pregame, he's been kind of improving as he's gone, and it's been a year now, and he's certainly improved since the first time we saw him. So again, yeah, I think this would have been the perfect 10-15 minutes to throw him on and see if he would have created anything, you know.
Yeah. Jay, what are your thoughts on it? What's going on with him?
Don't know, mate. I don't know if I'm going to say something fucking stupid again here, but honestly, I'd rather see a player that we haven't sort of tried and tested properly. And I agree with both of what you're saying, but there's also been times when Minamino's played and we haven't seen anything from him. Let's remember that as well. You know, we're all clamoring for something else to happen because we're sick of seeing the same shit and it's obviously not working. So we wanted Minamino in the side against Palace, and he played and he scored and he played well. We've not seen him since. But before that, a lot of people were saying about Minamino not being good enough to even get in the side anyway. You know, we'd not seen the Minamino that played against us. So again, it's like what Tim said, maybe they're seeing something that we're not. It could be just because we were trying to put Origi in the shop window. I just don't know. I do feel for him. So he's been here a year now, and we've said this on a previous podcast. Given the way we've had to play game after game, it might not have suited the way Klopp wanted to do it with the pandemic. And you know, there's loads of different variables. If Klopp would have known about the pandemic before, would he have bought Minamino in that time because he wanted to bet him in? We don't know. There's lots of different variables with Minamino. At the minute, we've got to start thinking about the domino effect. The biggest question now is the fucking centre-half issue. Again, I'm sick of fucking talking about it. Is Virgil van Dijk coming back earlier than we think? We don't know, because the club have never put a stamp on it to say, OK, he is out for X amount of time. It's never, ever been said. Obviously, there's the constant videos that are being released on social media that Virgil van Dijk is getting fitter, he's doing kick-ups, he's being fucking so powerful on that fucking bike machine, he could fucking ride his bike back from Dubai. But the thing is, we do need a fucking centre-half. We needed one in the summer. Albeit, yeah, Fabinho was going to be that fourth centre-half, but we were all like, nah, we won't see much of Fabinho. We won't fucking see much of him at centre-half. And he's been our fucking most consistent centre-half since the season started. So, for me, it's all about that. And I feel that Klopp's comments in the week about wanting a centre-half and then not getting one, it worries me because, you know, we're only, what, 7 days away from the window closing, and we're going to go into a game against Leipzig where you would probably think that, like Tim said, if we won the Champions League now, it'd be a very, very nice cushioner. But I don't even think we can get to the final the way we're playing right now and without that support centre-half. Because, again, the domino effect, we need Fabinho out of that fucking defence to play in midfield, don't we, Mick?
Yeah, and I think it's clear for everyone to see we need players in the correct positions. That is as simple as it is. And the fact that we haven't got enough centre-halves and we're having to play centre-mids and centre-half, like we played Hendo and Fabit in the game in the league against United, didn't we? And as well as they did, you're taking two of your best defensive midfielders out of midfield to put them in defence. And then you just, it's like you said, it's the whole domino effect. And it's like, it, like you said, with Klopp, it was quite pointed the way he was saying about would a centre-half make a difference? Of course it would, but the funds aren't there. It's like, well, there's a global pandemic. Nothing's as normal as it usually is. So, yeah, I just don't know. I'd fucking love to be a fly on the wall on their conversations and see what's being said, because if Klopp's not absolutely ripping doors down saying they need the centre half, otherwise we're gonna struggle a lot more than we would, then I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. I've got no words for it, to be honest. I know we've done so well and we've been lucky that Fabinho's done so well in there, because he's plugged that hole like perfectly, hasn't he? Like, he's boss. He can carry it out. Positionally wise, he's good. He doesn't get done for pace because he's good positionally on the field. He reads it and sniffs it out. But when he's got like a 19-year-old kid alongside him, it's difficult for him to do it all, isn't it, Tim? So it's just trying to get that fine balance. And I don't know if it's Klopp thinking, well, we can struggle through this season, do as best we can. Obviously, he was talking about the FA Cup, the game tonight, but in the interview, saying this is what they want to go for this season. I don't think he's ever said that before. So the fact that we've then got knocked out and he wanted this one to be maybe one we could get this season, it is a bit mad, isn't it? Because there's so much shit going on. We need, and it doesn't seem like it's sorting itself out anytime soon, albeit tonight was a lot better performance-wise.
Yeah, as you just touched on, tonight was much, much better. And I think actually in the lead up to United's third goal, when we switched to a 4-2-3-1, and I thought we were looking really quite dangerous going forward. And of course, they then went and scored a free kick. But I just feel bad for Fabinho. You know, the guy's played completely out of position for the last 4 months. And he's, I don't even, I there's probably a stat going around somewhere that he's not had the same centre-back pairing for two games in a row in I don't know how many months. I can't remember the last time someone played two games in a row alongside him. I just can't. I think, again, one of the things we've touched on before is the fact that we probably owe it to Fabinho to bring in a centre-back so we can get that midfield back to the way it should be. That's the thing, is that we've got guys that are just plugging in positions. We've got Thiago who's plugging in Fabinho's position, and although he's very good at it, it's not his position, it's not where he's most comfortable, he's not world class at it. And we've got Fabinho plugging in Van Dijk's position, and again, although he's very good at it and he's doing a job, he's not world class. So it's a domino effect. And then obviously we're looking at that and thinking, well, you know, we're concentrating so much on not conceding, then it's hard to then look at the front three and go, oh, yeah, well, you should be doing more. Because at the end of the day, we're playing a negative style of football and so one way and head down. And it's just a mess. And it's 7 days. There are options on the table that we can surely afford. We can surely afford to spend 5 or 6 million on a seasoned centre-back to come in and do a job till Van Dijk returns. Even if there is something that he's going to return in the middle of February or the end of February, we can't afford another month like this, because we'll get knocked out of the Champions League. We'll lose our place in the Premier League title run, and our season is going to collapse if we don't make a move or if something doesn't change in the next month.
I like the way you were saying about plugging in, because it's like when you got a fucking controller back in the day and you plug the normal controller in and it works perfectly, but if you plug like a dodgy second-hand controller or one that's not made official by PlayStation or Nintendo, and it works, but it's not the fucking same, is it? It's not the same.
Yeah.
Exactly. Mick, one final thing I want to talk about now is, where do we go from here now? So FA Cup's gone, Spurs this week, what happens now? Or is it, do you think, I want to tackle that question after we've the transfer window shuts, because we still don't know?
I'm not expecting anything. Like, I know we're all saying we need it. Klopp saying we need it. I just don't think, I'd be surprised if we did, because I feel like they're gonna where's going loads already. Really love it. Oh, get Colo back, fucking hell, or Clavan. What was I saying now? That just threw me off.
Where are we going from here? Have you got to wait till the window shuts?
Yeah, well, we're just gonna have to wait and see, aren't we? Like, it's Spurs away, and then is it, who've we got, Brighton, is it, or West Ham? Fucking losing track now. Yeah, Spurs and then West Ham away. So it's got those two games before it closes. But yeah, I've no idea. Like, it's going to keep happening, and I don't know if the thinking is, we'll limp on up until the summer. We've got big targets in mind to fix that defence in the summer, but then Van Dijk's going to be back. Gomez might not be back, but Van Dijk should be back for, obviously, the summertime. I imagine he'll be back maybe, I think people are saying February, but it's going to be like late March or April, I think, because it's such a bad injury. It's going to take time, isn't it? Like,
can't rush him.
Can't rush
him. The thing is, though, Mick, sorry to stop, because I want you to carry on with this. I saw this was a really good point by somebody. We're saying don't rush Van Dijk back, and I completely agree with that. I don't want Van Dijk rushing back, because he'd just be fucking curtains for the rest of the time. But how do we stop Virgil van Dijk from going on to captain his country in the summer at the Euro?
I don't know. Because I imagine they're fucking banking on Andy Holland. They'll be like, there.
Of course they are. Of course, like, they are, mate.
Yes, just in time. So, he's going to come back.
So what happens if we don't play him? He plays at the Euros, fucks himself up again, and then we're in trouble now, then, for the next 12 to 18 months. Go on, Tim.
The one thing I could say is that if, for whatever reason, Van Dijk does it, we don't see Van Dijk this season. Yeah, I agree with that. But if we don't see Van Dijk again this season, I would actually prefer he played for Holland, because I'd rather him have a month of football under his belt of top-tier competition to get his feet back, so that he doesn't come back into Liverpool having not played in summer and been out a full
love
year.
That positivity. Love that, mate.
Yeah, and then come in and not be himself, or take a month to get back into full match fitness. So, you know, as I believe that this is a one-off injury. I don't think he's massively injury prone, I'm touching wood, because it was just a big tackle and it was just a bad injury. But I've, like I said, I get the feeling that part of the reason Liverpool aren't making a move is because they know something about him coming back early. I think we'll probably see him towards the end of February at this rate, the way that they're playing their cards. But it wouldn't be all doom and gloom if we didn't see him and he did play for Holland, because like I said, I'd like him to have some form of first team competition before he came back, and so that the pressure wasn't on him the second he stepped back into the squad to completely turn around what we've seen so far.
Yeah, maybe. Well, I wouldn't have been that positive to him, so I applaud you. But yeah, I do agree now that you've said that. But if they're looking forward to the summer, like obviously Van Dijk's going to be back, unless they think, well, we're going to bring in a big name. But then if Gomez is also on the periphery of coming back as well, does that put question marks over Joel Matip's future, do you think?
Possibly. No.
We've only got three centre-backs. We need another big name. And Joe Gomez is injury-prone. Matip is injury-prone. We need a guy that's going to, one, either be able to fill in and do a job, or that's going to take Joe Gomez's place or Matip's place as a starting CB and be able to consistently perform, so that when this happens again, we're not in a situation where Fabinho's got 15 different centre-back partners over the course of 3 weeks. So it's one, and then he can plug in and do a job and he'll get more comfortable doing it. So again, I think regardless of who's back over summer or how much people play, I think we need to pull in another CB, be it a starter or someone who's a fourth CB, a Clavan kind of guy who's going to fill in and do a role and go from there. But I mean... I'd do it now. I'd do it now. There's no point in waiting till summer. I think there are people on the market that you could probably get for something that's not unreasonable. So,
yeah, I agree. And I think we've said it before. Like, what's this? Fucking LJ. I think we've been lucky over the last few seasons. We're not having any injuries. It's papered over the fact we're severely lack strength and depth this season. We've been stung. Even today, United had a much better bench than us. Look at our subs and struggle to find a genuine game changer, excluding Mane, usually starts. Yeah, I'd agree with that. It's just, yeah, it's... The fact is, when we're all as what, like Klopp relies on people being available and fit, like the start 11 for us doesn't usually change very often, does it? And the fact that when everyone's in there, the usual suspects, we're always fit and firing, we're always really doing well. So the players that then coming into a team that's doing well, it's easy. Like Curtis Jones can come in and do well, Minamino can come in and do well. When you're coming into a team that's struggling, you're ultimately going to struggle a bit more because you're having to, the pressure's on to kind of get the ball over the line, like you were saying, Jay, with your tweet, fucking what happens when that white circle thing goes over the line. Thankfully, it fucking happened twice tonight, but just wasn't enough, unfortunately. But yeah, onwards and upwards, fucker. Spurs away on Thursday. Tonight was a lot better, and I'm hoping Thursday we can do it pretty much the same thing again, and hopefully get a win this time. But we'll leave it there because that's 26 minutes. And thanks to Tim for joining on. I've been thinking, Tim, all this pod, I've been thinking, who does Tim remind me of? And it's just clicked, Craig David with the hat and the headphones on. Nice one to Craig. Nice one to Jay. And we'll see you.
Podcast Network.